God bless you once again. My name is Kevin Porter. This is the second take on the Healing Anointing series that we're doing. And I trust now that you are speaking in tongues an hour every morning, at the very minimum. And you're building the Word up. You're flowing in the Word. You're reading the Word. You're getting filled up with God's Word. You're not just on a starvation diet with the Bible. But as Jesus said, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall man live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So that's what we need in our preparation. We need to be filled with the Word, and we need to be filled with the Spirit and speaking much in tongues. Hallelujah. Well, today, in this teaching set, I'm going to show you how to receive the healing anointing. There is a very definite process and purpose and focus that we can have to receive the gifts of the Spirit that we need to be able to be effective ministers of Jesus Christ. Now remember, this is the purpose of healing, is to demonstrate to people, to show people that Jesus Christ is relevant, that He's not just a historical figure, it's not just a historical Christianity, or it's not just a historical record of signs and wonders, but God is alive now. He's living now. His purposes are real now. His power is real now. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to deliver His people. And He confirms His Word with signs following. So if I'm speaking the Word, if I'm teaching the Word, if I'm witnessing the Word, and I'm sharing the truth of the Gospel, then I expect the Lord to confirm His Word with signs following. He does this. Exactly. I was speaking in a church in Nairobi one time, and there, one afternoon, we had finished the service and we were praying, and we'd gotten all of the people who were still there were all in a circle and we were praying, and there was a woman there who was sick and dying of AIDS. That's right. And as we were praying, the Spirit of God came upon me, and I was led to go over and lay hands on her and command that evil disease to die in her, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I didn't command her to die. I commanded the disease to die. Bless God forever. And then we got back in the circle and began praying again. And I didn't see or hear anything about this woman, but several years later, I was back in in that same church, and there was this wonderful woman who just had a glow about her, who was leading worship. I mean, this woman was just had a tremendous anointing upon her life, and she was leading worship. And I said to my friend Charles, who's the pastor, I said, Charles, who is that woman? And he said, that's the woman who was dying of AIDS that you prayed for. Hallelujah. So you see, this word that you're learning is a blessing to you, but it's life to those who receive it. See, it's life to those who receive it. So we should be very focused on learning and to do our very best in ministering the gift of healing, because it's literally life and death to people. Hallelujah. You will go into situations where unless God intervenes with the miracle, that person will die. That's right. And God will use you. He will use you to bring His healing power into that situation. And this is how He does it. It's through the gifts of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, and through the anointing of the gift of healing. Hallelujah, the healing anointing. And you can learn to receive the healing anointing. Bless God forever. Now, look at Matthew chapter 10. In verse 8, it says, heal the sick. This is talking to the disciples. Jesus was talking to His disciples. And He said, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Now, look at the next phrase. It says, freely you have received, freely give. Now, what are you and I doing with this command here in the Word of God? If we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, then aren't we supposed to be doing what the disciples were commanded to do? We are commanded. It's a command. He said, heal the sick. He didn't say, think about it. He didn't say, talk about it. He said, go and do it. He said, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. See, as far as I know, I've never cleansed a leper. Bless God forever. And as far as I know, I've never raised a dead person. I think there's one situation where I could have, but I'm not sure of the exact details of how the whole thing worked out. But I do know that I have laid hands on people, and they have been healed. God has healed them. I've healed the sick. I mean, we've verified it medically in every other way that we know that these things happen. And I have cast out demons. Hallelujah. By the hundreds. Bless God forever. Glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I am at least partially qualified, if not fully qualified, to speak into some of these things and to help you, and to help you to receive. But the Word of God says that freely you have received. Now freely give. Now this is the beauty of it, because it's to receive the healing anointing is easy. In fact, it's simple, because it comes freely. It comes freely. You just simply have to learn how to do it. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Bless God forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can do this. Remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my love for God and my love for that person is going to overcome my fear of failure. Hallelujah. Because love energizes faith. Bless God forever. And it enables you to carry out the ministry that God's given you. Now, look at verse 31. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Now, what are the best gifts? Is one gift of God better than another gift of God? No, absolutely not. The best gifts are the gifts that are needed in that situation. That's right. There's nine gifts of the Spirit that God makes available to every believer. That's right. But you only need those that you need at that moment. I mean, you, throughout the course of your life, and perhaps even throughout the course of even a single day, you may need all nine gifts of the Spirit. That's right. But in your situation, when you need healing, when you need a healing gift, you are to earnestly desire that gift. You are to, if you need a word of knowledge, you are to earnestly desire that word of knowledge. If you need prophecy, you are to earnestly desire that prophecy. Hallelujah. It's not a thing where you just wait on God to see whatever He wants to give you. It's a thing where you and Him work together. It's the super and the natural working together. See, you know what's on your schedule to a certain degree. So you seek the gifts that will enable you to do the will of God in those situations. You see, it's an active thing. Most people treat the gifts of the Spirit as if they were just passive. It's not passive. It's active. You are to actively, aggressively, if you can understand that in the right sense, you are to actively and aggressively seek the gifts of the Spirit. That's what the Word of God says. It says it's earnestly desire. It's with yearning zeal. That's right. Hallelujah. You know, as an American, perhaps the greatest example of zeal I know is that we see all the time is a fan, let's say a football fan or a soccer fan who's in the stands, and he's there and he's painted his face and he's wore different clothes and he's all excited and he's waving his banner and everything else because he's a fan. He's enthusiastic about his team. He's zealous for his football team or for his soccer team or whatever it is. You see, that's the way we are to be about the gifts of the Spirit. I want it. I want it. I want to win. I want to win. I want to win. See, and I'm willing to do what it takes. And, you know, to get into a football stadium costs a lot of money. And it's and to get dressed the way these guys get dressed and to bring the things that they bring. I mean, it requires, you know, it's kind of foolish to see them in some respects, but it's admirable in the respect of the commitment that they're demonstrating to their team. See? And we are to demonstrate that same commitment to God and to the things of God. We're to be God's fans. Hallelujah. And we are to desire earnestly the best gifts. We are to seek them out aggressively. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. See? So I know that I'm going to minister healing, so I'm going to pray for God to give me that gift. So that when I go into the situation, I'm ready for it. Bless God forever. Now, the anointing to minister healing comes from being in the manifest presence of God. What do I mean by that? Well, let me show you. In Exodus chapter 34, it says, so in verse 20, it says, so he, talking about Moses, was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on, and he, God, the Lord, wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the commandments, the testimony were in Moses' hands when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. This was the anointing that was on Moses. Bless God forever. He was glowing. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. And Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with him. You see, this anointing was upon him because he had spent time in the presence of the Lord. You see, there's a difference between the promised presence, which is Christ in you. That's the promised presence of God in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then there's the manifest presence. You see, it's Christ in you. But it's when the manifest presence is when the Spirit comes upon you. See, the Spirit comes upon you. The promised presence is within you all the time. But there's only certain times, when the manifest presence comes upon you. You see, you can't give a gift of healing anytime you want to. You can only give a gift when God gives it to you, when God places that gift upon you, and then you're able to minister it. See, but it's not just a passive thing where you just wait and see whatever God wants to do. No, you aggressively go after that gift. You see, it's the super and the natural lining up together so that something supernatural happens. See, so your attitude is that I'm going to aggressively pray. I'm going to seek God for the gift of the Spirit so that I can give it, so that I can share it. Whatever that, and my prayer is that I receive the best gifts, and I endeavor to know what those gifts are. See, to the best of my ability. And I wait in the presence of God until He gives them. See, this is the key. You see, this requires discipline. This is, you know, everything I'm talking about on these first couple of tapes requires discipline. It requires discipline to read the Word every day. It requires discipline to pray in tongues every day. It requires discipline to seek the Lord's face and to wait on Him, which literally means to wait, just to wait in His presence until He comes, until He anoints you. See? These require discipline. That's why we're called disciples. See? And if you're gonna be an effective minister of Jesus Christ, you have to be a disciplined one. Bless God forever. Let me show you Luke chapter 5, what I'm talking about here. In Luke chapter 5, it says in verse 17, or verse 15, it says, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Hallelujah. Because as a man, he needed to be re-anointed. He needed to have that Spirit of God come upon him. And so he spent time in the presence of his Father. Jesus, as a man, had to spend time in the presence of his Father so that he could receive the anointing that so that he could effectively minister. Bless God forever. Hallelujah. Now it says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day, verse 17, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee in Jerusalem. And look at the next verse. Look at the next phrase. Look at the next sentence. And it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You see, the healing anointing was upon that meeting because Jesus had spent time in his Father's presence. See? That's why the healing anointing was there in that meeting. Bless God forever. Now, it's the same truth with you and I. We, in our private prayer lives, we go into the presence of God. We seek to enter into the presence of God. And we wait on him until he anoints us, until he blesses us. See? I think of Israel, who was wrestling with the angel. And he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Hallelujah. That's right. We wrestle with God. We enter into that place with God until, and we seek him in prayer and wait upon him until he blesses us, until he anoints us. And it's his idea, and it's his purposes, and so we're simply coming into alignment with him. In the super and the natural are coming into alignment so that something supernatural can happen. See? And that's what you're doing when you're praying, when you're waiting in the presence of God, and you're aggressively seeking those gifts that you need to be successful that day. Hallelujah. Bless God for or in that meeting or on that trip or whatever it is. See, you can be anointed. You can carry anointing for more than one day. I know before I ever do any trip to Africa, I always take a time when I wait in the presence of God until he anoints me for that trip. See, many times on the trip, I don't have time or the place to really be able to get into the presence of God. So I've got to get that anointing for the trip, for the success of the trip, before I go on the trip. Hallelujah. And God honors that, and he anoints that. See, because many times when you're traveling and you're going into different situations and you're in difficult circumstances, which we are all the time in Africa, it seems like, you just can't have, it's just not available to get alone and get quiet and pray like you need to. See, I mean, you just kind of grab it where you can. But that's done in your preparation. You get the victory for the trip. You get the anointing for the trip or for the work that you're going to do or for the meeting that you're going to go into. You get the anointing of victory before you ever enter into the physical reality of what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be ministering. See? And here it says, he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed, and it was because of those prayer times that the healing anointing was upon the meeting. Bless God forever. Now, you and I operate the same way. We have to learn how to get into the presence of God and how to receive that anointing that is necessary for us to be able to minister effectively. See? Now, prayer for most people, or for many people anyways, that most people approach, or many people approach prayer with a let's get this over with attitude. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. It's an attitude of death and defeat. Other people approach prayer with a formalism, I don't want to use any examples. I mean, you know enough of your own examples. But they're so formal that it's just stagnating. You see, my children are my children. I'm their father. I'm their daddy. You know, and if my son came to me and said, Holy Father, and you know, in the name of Mother, would you give me this or something? if my children approached me like that, it would be I'd feel terrible. See, because it's like they don't know me. It's like they don't love me. Like there's some distance between us. And God doesn't like that either. That's right. That's got a kind of formality that is just stifling. You know, we fear God, and we have a holy reverence towards God. But we also can have a tenderness and a sweetness. We shouldn't have any barriers, you know, between us. Because Jesus broke down the barrier. He broke down the wall. He tore away the veil. He took all of that away, all that stuff that separated God from His people in the Old Testament. The wall, the veil, all that stuff that separated God from His people, Jesus tore it all away. Hallelujah. He tore it all away so that we can have so that we can enter into the presence of God and have an intimate and formal an intimate and fearful relationship with Him. That's right. Bless God forever. So we're to be easily given to all kinds of prayer. That's it says in verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. See, it says praying always. It's with all prayer and supplication. There's another translation that reads, be easily given to all kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of prayer. There's prayer with your hands raised. There's prayer on your face. There's prayer kneeling. There's prayer, you know, with your hands extended. There's prayer with your hands folded together. And there's prayer out of your soul. And there's prayer out of your spirit. I can pray with my soul, which is a prayer in English, in my mother tongue. Or I can pray with my spirit, which is to pray by speaking in tongues. Bless God forever. Hallelujah. All these different ways. I can even groan. There's a groaning in the Spirit. There's a weeping in the Spirit. There's a travailing in the Spirit. All these are different aspects of prayer. And we are to be easily given to them. We are to become people of prayer. We are to become familiar and easy and simple in our prayers. Where you know, God's not some formal, you know, God that's separate from us, that He's a Father, He's a Daddy, He loves us, and yet we have an awesome fear of Him as well, you know, in true reverence and true respect, true awe, and yet we love Him and we know that He loves us and we enter into His bosom. That record in John 1:18 where it says, He who is in the bosom of the Father. That's right. That's just a scene of intimacy. You know, I think about John laying his head on Jesus' bosom at the Last Supper. You know, that's just a scene of intimacy. That's just a scene of a sweet, tender fellowship. See, and that's what our prayer life should be. That's what our prayer life should be. You know, I grew up in a Christian denomination where we were taught formal prayers. You know, and we never deviated, at least as far as I was taught, anyways, from those formal scripted prayers. You know, I never saw anybody that I can think of that prayed extemporaneously. Hallelujah. But, you know, I would be so hurt if my children had a formal way, you know, a formal scripted way of approaching me. See, that would be so offensive to my spirit because that would be a barrier between us. And I want my children to have an intimate knowledge of their Father. I want them to know my heart. I want them to know my life. I want them to see my love. I want them to feel my love, see, and my concern for them. And this is the same way with your Heavenly Father. See, there is to be an intimacy. There is to be a tenderness. There is to be a sweetness that's there. And, boy, you know, that's not something where you say, gee, I wish I could just get this over with, you know. You know, when you're loved and you're being loved and you're loving, then you just, you know, time flies by. It's not something where you, you know, are forcing yourself to be there. See? Now, if you're forcing yourself to be there, it's your soul that you have to overcome. Just like I taught you on the last tape, you know, this first 15, 20 minutes, that you just got to fight through your soulish, you know, complaining or whatever it is that's inside of you that's resisting you know, being in the presence of God, you just got to fight through that stuff. You know, the desire to watch television, the desire to do this, or the desire to do that, or the desire to do something else. Say, or maybe the pressure of that you have to do these things. See, that has to be resisted. And what will happen is you'll break through it. You'll break through it, and then you really begin to flow. See, now. Jesus' source of anointing and power was his prayer line. Bless God forever. The apostles never said, teach us to pray, preach, or heal, but rather teach us to pray. You see, what released the healing anointing in my life was when I made a radical shift in my prayer life. When I've always seen healings. I've always loved to pray for the sick. I've always seen healings. But I've never seen them. In, you know, I would tell the same story, you know, year after year, because only one or two or three miracles would happen in a year, or even less than that. That's right. Until God did a wonderful thing way back in March of 1995, where a number of us did a conference. We actually did kind of a retreat in a little town in Virginia. And it was supposed to be a spiritual warfare conference, and as a matter of fact, I was one of the speakers at the conference. But I tell you, it was the Holy Spirit's conference, and he took it over, and he just had us, all of us, speaking in tongues. I mean, there must have been, I guess there was upwards of 100 people who were there for the retreat, and we were there for a whole week. And we were away from the world, we were away from the TV, we were away from the newspapers, we were away from everything. And the Holy Spirit just took over, and we began to speak in tongues all throughout the day. I mean, we'd be speaking in tongues in the middle of the night, you know, 12 midnight. We'd be speaking in tongues at 6 in the morning. We'd be speaking in tongues throughout the day. And we were just deep fried in the presence of God and in the Spirit of God that week. And that week changed my prayer life forever. You see, I went from being a 5-minute-a-day or 10-minute-a-day speaking in tongues person to 2 to 3 hours a day of speaking in tongues, even more. When I came home from that conference, I immediately sought a place where I could go and pray, because I fell in love with God once again. I fell in love with Him at that conference, and since then, I've literally seen hundreds of people healed. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people healed. I've seen thousands of people delivered of demons. I've seen thousands of people filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. See? And it's because I have kept that prayer life up. See? It's because I have continued to pray like that. To pray like that, 2 and 3 and 4 hours a day of praying in tongues, of getting into the presence of the Father. You see, not all of that time is alone time with God, but I'm still praying. See, I'm still praying. But there's much of that time that's alone time with God. When I got back from that conference, I decided that I needed to find a place away from my house and away from the phone and away from the kids and away from the wife and away from the dog and away from everything else, where I could go and meet with my Father, where I could go and meet with my Lord. And I would sense His presence there, and I would sense Him drawing me to that place, because He wanted to meet with me and I wanted to meet with Him. See? And there was such an anointing on that prayer spot. And it was so beautiful, because I would go there and I'd be apart from everything else. You know, it'd be maybe me and the prayer dog, Toby. And we would go and meet the Lord there. See, we would meet Him there, and He would speak to me. And I would love Him and honor Him and praise Him and dance before Him, sing to Him. And just, you know, it was just, I'd love that. I would love it. I would just love it. I would just love it. And it was on a spot that was on a hill that was over the city of Palmdale, California. And I could see the whole city from up there, and it would, especially the lights of the city at night. And where I was, it was all dark. And in quiet. And I just love that to see. And I still have those places now, even now living where I live now. I had to find another prayer spot. Hallelujah. Another place to go meet him, because I want to meet him. I want to know him. I want him to know me. I want us to have sweet fellowship together. See, because that's where the power comes from. I mean, that's just like a sideline benefit, but that's what comes out of it, is that out of those times in prayer, that the healing anointing and the power of the gifts of the Spirit is what comes out of it. See? Now, you and I have the right and the authority to enter into the presence of God. Let me show you here in Ephesians chapter 2. And it says in verse 13, it says, but now, and I love the word now, because the word now means now. It means right now. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. You see, I told you that he's taken away everything that separates us from the Father, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. For through him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. You see, Jesus is the way. It's the Holy Spirit who leads us on that way into the presence of the Father. You see, Jesus paved the way. He became the way back to God the Father. And it's the Holy Spirit who leads us into the presence of the Father. You see, he leads us into the presence of the Father. And he does it through confession, through praise, and through worship. Confession, praise, worship. Let me show you. To begin to enter into the presence of the Father, the first thing that you do is you make sure you have clean hands and a pure heart. It says, if we confess our sins, whatever sins that the Holy Spirit shows us, or whatever you're knowledgeable of, before you try to enter into the presence of the Father, first thing is confession. That's right. Get cleaned up. Christian's bar of soap here in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. This is how it works. You confess. This is the first thing that you do to enter into the presence of the Father. You confess whatever sin that you may have in your life. Then you begin with that. You go on with other confessions. You can confess that your body is a living sacrifice, according to Romans 12:1. That's right. You can confess praise, and you can confess worship. See? Confessions of praise and worship. Here it says in verse 4 of Psalm 100, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So what do? I'm thanking him. I'm thanking him. I'm praising him. I'm praising him. And you see, as I'm doing these things, as I'm confessing whatever sin I might have, and as I'm thanking and I'm appraising him and I'm giving my body to him, I'm offering my life to him, see, as a living sacrifice, then the Holy Spirit is gradually taking me in. Into the presence of the Father. See, he's taking me from confession to praise, and then finally to worship. See, and finally to worship. When you get to worship, in your praise is on your feet, your hands extended, you're dancing, you're praising him, but worship is on your face. See, there's the physical move from being up and dancing and shouting and raising your hands to the physical place of getting on your face with your nose in the carpet, so to speak, or your nose on the floor. That's going from praise to worship. But you don't just do this. You do this as the Spirit leads you to do it. See, you'll be praising, and then the Spirit will just draw you in deeper where you go from praise. Now you're down on your face, and you're in worship, see. Because the word worship in the Greek New Testament is, means to kiss the feet. You can't kiss the feet when you're dancing and when you have your hands raised and you're jumping up and down, even though that's all part of it. You see, that's the praise. That's the initial. That's the entering into His gates. It's the entering into His gates and into His courts. It's the entry in. It's not the worship that's in, because the worship that's within when you get in the temple, when you get in the presence, is on your face. See, it's on your face. It's as much an attitude of heart as it is a physical thing. I'm not saying that every time you worship God that you physically have to get on your face, even though it's a good thing to do. But your heart has to go on your face. Your attitude has to go on your face. Your tenderness and your sweetness in your heart has to be reflected in the fact that you are on your face before the Lord. See? In 1 John, or John chapter 4, this is what it's saying when it says, when Jesus was talking about the true worshiper, the hour is coming, verse 23, and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. You see, you give to God what He wants, and then He in turn gives to you what you need, see, and what you want. Yeah, that's how it works. You worship Him. You know what made David's life great? I mean, David made some awful mistakes. He had a man murdered. He committed adultery. He did many foolish and terrible things. But the thing that he never strayed on was his worship. He was faithful. He was a faithful worshiper of God. And that's what made him, that's what made his life great. You see, you give to God what He wants, which is worship, which is what He's seeking. And then He in turn gives to you that which you need. And He can overlook and cover and cleanse of us of so many mistakes and so many sins that we commit. If we will turn to Him and confess them before Him and then worship Him. See? Now turn the tape over.